Back on Get Up, we got some eye candy here from the NBA champion Denver Nuggets and Tristan Brown. I know what Alan Hahn thinks of this dunk. He's been very clear, but how about the rest of you? What, Harry, what do you got?
I like this, and I love the emotion afterward. To dunk it with your left hand over Rudy Gobert.
Oh. Come on, and then flex on him, CB.
Got to have the passion, got to show emotion. Got veins popping out his neck.
Probably pulled something, right? Like, you know, because you know you go back to the bench and you're trying to pretend like your neck doesn't suddenly hurt because you pop it. Like, a little too strong. A little too much flex right there, but you're feeling it in the moment. I like that.
He had no regard for Rudy Gobert's life. None right there. None.
I'm taking Alan Hahn's word for it on everything involving dunks because never in my wildest dreams have I ever been able to come close to doing something like that. Welcome back to Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. As you can see, we have a full house here. We are talking football, we are talking basketball, and we're going to start this hour with the basketball. Oh, Monica McNutt is here.
So good morning, Monica.
Even better. Let's run the floor. It was a huge night in the NBA. Monica, Nikola Jokic, he had 41 points against Minnesota. Denver seizing control of that one seed out west. Are they clearly the team to beat in that conference?
Man, Dan, yes, clearly with the capital C. The way that this team turned what was a really competitive ball game into light work, as we call it, in the last 3 minutes or so of that ball game and that lead ballooning, Nikola Jokic, Optimus Dime, is still that dude.
Allen, Phoenix outscored the Clippers 19-2 in the final 7 minutes. They are a half game behind New Orleans for the sixth seed. Can they make a playoff run with their big three?
No, full context. The Clippers didn't play anybody. No Westbrook, no Kawhi, they were no Paul George, no Harden, and they were down by five at home. I'm sorry, was that on the road? Was that at home? I can't see right now. They were down by five on the road in the fourth quarter. So I can't believe in this team. I can't trust this team to win a playoff series if you can't take care of business like that.
How dare you impose context in our morning sports talk show. Monica, the Bucks beat Orlando without Giannis Antetokounmpo. He will be out for the rest of the regular season, which is to say two games. What is your level of confidence in Milwaukee as the playoffs approach with Giannis banged up?
Let's see, 10 being very confident, I'm probably at like a 5.75 with this group. Besides the fact that Giannis is now injured, they just have not seemed right. The record since Doc took over is not impressive. They have not had their big three available for many games since Doc took over as well. I believe it's less than 10. I'm not feeling good about the continuity and the energy surrounding the Milwaukee Bucks.
So we thought, I think, for much of the year that if there was a team that might be able to go up against Boston and have a shot in the East, it might be them. If it's not them, who is it?
Well, Dan, you know, those Sixers are starting to look a little scary with Joel Embiid's return. And it was the Sixers and Celtics that gave us some great matchups earlier this season. Obviously, Joel Embiid was in MVP form before that injury. I think you're wondering, how real is that team in terms of developing momentum? Down the stretch, all these various press conferences, Dan, these coaches are talking about this time of year and the ability to get your team revved up or rested and the delicate balance between the two of those. If the Sixers are getting revved up and Joel Embiid is getting back to form, I think they might be the most formidable team in terms of a matchup with the Celtics out of the East.
My only concern about the Sixers and Embiid with that, because I agree with Monica that they are one of the teams, but is that Joel Embiid on two legs couldn't get out of the second round. Now on one leg, we're going to expect him to do that. But Tyrese Maxey is playing at a different level with him. And then there's Nick Nurse. And Nick Nurse is, if you're going to pick coaches in that matchup over Joe Mazzulla, you're taking Nick Nurse and what he can do defensively. So they are certainly a team to contend with. But Monica, what's our background? What is our background? What is our connection?
When I saw the rundown, I knew where we were going today. Take it away.
The team that probably will get the third seed in the East is the New York Knicks, and how they're playing and Jalen Brunson playing at a high level. The New York Knicks also, to me, have a great chance to make a push and get there. It's going to depend on matchups and all those other things. But when you think about the East, it's the Boston Invitational. I'll keep calling it that because it's theirs to lose when you think about the odds and everything else. But the Knicks match up with them defensively. They have a great scorer in Brunson. And also keep in mind that the rest of the East is flawed. Everybody has a flaw. I mentioned the Sixers' flaw is that they can't get out of the second round. That Embiid is a guy that is still playing with a gigantic Donjoy brace. And Damian Woody can tell us all about those big braces that you wear on your knee. Offensive linemen wear those braces. That's how unstable that knee is going to be after surgery. But when you look at all the teams, it's going to be about matchups for who gets to the conference finals. And then for the Celtics, it's going to be about don't play with your food, don't mess around, take care of business early on, because what they don't want to do is either get tired or injured by the time you get to the conference finals.
Right, because if this Boston team were to let down like past ones have in the playoffs, it might be the most disappointing one yet. Hey, here's something that wasn't disappointing. This is a little eye candy. It's a poster dunk from the Hornets, Brandon Miller. What do you think? What do you think here, Alan, of the poster? How does this compare to Christian Brown?
It's not as impressive as Christian Brown, but it's still pretty nice. And you consider when you play for the Hornets, you need something to feel good about at the end of the season. And here's a play to make them feel good. Monica, you talk about taking out all your aggression on one player. That's it right there. My rookie season has been horrible, so I'm just going to take it out on you with a nasty dunk.
Well, among rookies, Brandon Miller statistically has had a fair season.
But a lot of losing.
I don't know if I'm giving you. I think I might take this one over the Bron one. I get it. It was left-handed. I get it. It was Rudy Gobert, yeah. But it was also in transition. There's more runway. Like, I think this is pretty good, hon.
No. Like I said, it's nice. I mean, that's a hammer. That's an absolute sledgehammer dunk on a big. But it is Rudy Gobert. It was lefty. Like, there's a lot about that Christian Brown dunk that I can't get over.
You got to think about consequences, though, and impact. The Miller dunk, that allowed us to talk about the Charlotte Hornets on Get Up. And think about what he accomplished there. Otherwise, I don't think we would have done that all season long. Back to the NFL, where the draft is just 2 weeks away. And that means it's time for some bold predictions. Damian Woody, what do you got?
What do I have?
Yeah, bold prediction. Bold prediction. Come on, man. You got one. I know it.
You got a good one, Damian.
The top 10 in the draft. All offense. How about that for you,
Damian? Say it boldly.
Boldly.
Top 10 of the draft. All offense.
There you go.
Everyone talking about the Atlanta Falcons. And I know Eric talks, mentioning the Atlanta Falcons and getting the pass rusher, but what if they trade out and this whole thing is all offense? Interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
Bold. One would think he might have said it with even more confidence. Kmart.
Mine's not going to be as bold as David. No. Actually, forget Brock Bowers, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Douglas will completely blow up his draft day plans and appease the one and only Mike Greenberg by taking an offensive tackle at number 10. You know why? Because if he doesn't, Damian, if he drafts Brock Bowers, Joe Douglas knows that we will have to listen to Greeny go on and on and on about how they have no offensive line help. So that's what he's going
to
do.
It is going to be interesting to see how much Greeny's potential reaction factors into Joe Douglas' draft. Harry, what do you got?
I have the Raiders with their second-round draft pick, 44th overall, moving back up into the first round and taking a quarterback. That could be Bo Nix. I actually like it more if it's Michael Penix Jr. The Raiders cannot go into the season without a quarterback of their future, so I think they move back into the first round and take Michael Penix Jr., who I love very, very dearly.
Yes. Interesting potential solution for a team that might not be able to move up from 13 to get one of the top guys, because Mel Kiper had his latest mock draft yesterday. He's got four quarterbacks going in the top five, including a trade-up by the Minnesota Vikings to get to five and grab Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. Chris Mad Dog Russo would not like this idea. Listen to what he had to say.
You guys with this love affair with J.J. McCarthy, did we watch the games? Go take a peek. I mean, Maryland, he was awful. Didn't throw the ball in the second half against Penn State. He was not that great against Alabama, and they ran the ball great against Washington. Where in the world is J.J. McCarthy now, the fifth best player in his draft? I would never. Never.
Thoughts?
Listen. I can understand some of the concern what Mad Dog is talking about here, but I think there's a couple things that he and other people have to understand. Number one, when he was at the J.J. McCarthy was at the University of Michigan, they didn't ask him to do the things that some of these other prospects, had to do. You know, the University of Michigan, they were built different. They were built around defense and running the football. And what we saw from J.J. McCarthy in this past season is
when there were plays that had to be made, he made those plays. And so for me, when I look at him as a prospect, I see a few things. Number one, he's 21 years old. He has a lot of runway to go as far as reaching his potential. Number two, he's a very athletic quarterback. Like, this guy can move all over the place, which, you know, obviously fits in with a lot of what the league is looking for now. But I think three, and this is the most important aspect, pedigree. Mm. Playing under Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh is a quarterback savant. He's a former quarterback. He knows how to coach quarterbacks. And I think league execs and people in the know love the fact that he played in a program like Michigan under Jim Harbaugh, because they feel that that transitioned perfectly into what teams are doing in the National Football League.
Yeah, and I think for context, I think it's, you know, right for us to let the audience know, none of us have J.J. McCarthy ranked in the top five when it comes to these players in the 2024 NFL Draft. But when teams need quarterbacks, that's going to allow him to be picked earlier than he probably would have. And you don't have a chance in this league. We've seen this time and time again, year in and year out, if you don't have a quarterback under center. But we can't punish J.J. McCarthy for being in a run-first offense, having a good defense at Michigan. But he did play in a pro-style offense. He played for a guy that's had extreme success, whether it's been in college or the National Football League, in that game against Alabama. In the fourth quarter, when they were down 7 points, J.J. McCarthy had to make plays. He made the necessary plays for Michigan to be able to win that football game. He's 27-1 as a starter. I know one thing, when you're drafting a player of any position in the National Football League, a lot of these owners, GMs, head coaches, they like players that are winners and have won at the college level.
Now, every personnel guy, every exec, every owner is going to have a different thought, even within the same building. But our resident GM, Mike Tannenbaum, had tweeted earlier today with J.J. McCarthy. He reminds him of Justin Herbert because of the size and mobility. If there are execs out there who agree with Mike Tannenbaum, like, you know what I'm saying? Like that. Now, again,
I don't agree with that one.
Okay. Again, but here's my point. The point you just made was when you need a quarterback, and you know the other teams need a quarterback, your value increases quite a bit.
Yep.
And every team right now that needs a quarterback, why are they in that situation? Because they haven't gotten it right to this point. So you're going to take a chance. When execs talk about J.J. McCarthy, they bring up winning pedigree. They bring up Harbaugh. They bring up the fact that can he command an offense under center? Yes, he can do the easy things. He has athleticism. So am I going to go stand on that bridge with Mike Tannenbaum and say all that? No. But there are execs who are that high on J.J. McCarthy. The question is, where are those execs picking in the draft?
That is high praise, though, from Tannenbaum. He loves Justin Herbert. Jordan Reed, our draft expert, back with us. Jordan, what are you thinking about J.J. McCarthy, where he might be drafted, and whether that makes sense?
Well, I was going to say, all of you have made valid points, but there's one question to where it comes down to with J.J. McCarthy. Is he a quarterback that you can eventually win because of? Everybody knows that you can win football games with J.J. McCarthy. But eventually, if you're taking a guy top five, I'm reaching for the high ceiling. I want to know if he can eventually turn into a guy that I can win ball games because of. Just because at the end of his rookie contract, once you get done with that, he's going to eventually want to be paid as one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. If he gets to that point, I'm only paying a quarterback that I can win because of, not one that I can just win with. And it's the whole dilemma that we're seeing with a lot of quarterbacks around the league right now of, I only want to pay those upper tier elite type of quarterbacks. And yes, I just got off of the pro day circuit last week and I asked a bunch of scouts and evaluators, hey, who has been the most impressive quarterback in your private meeting? A lot of them said J.J. McCarthy, just because of the pedigree, his ability to talk them through situations, and his ability to show how good he was on the whiteboard. But nobody cares about that stuff when it gets to the NFL. How well does he throw the football? That's what it comes down to with J.J.
And I think in fairness to J.J. McCarthy, we haven't seen those things because he wasn't asked to do it in college, too. So I still believe it's to be determined, right, if he could be that guy or not.
So we'll see. We'll see how high he goes. We'll see if somebody trades up for him. We'll see if he turns into a player that justifies a top five pick. We have a lot more NFL draft talk coming up. Damian Woody's going to give you the five things that absolutely have to happen in the draft later this month. Plus, should Big D have a plan B at QB? Should Jerry Jones be looking for Dak Prescott's replacement in this year's draft? Oh, yeah, we're going to dig into that. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. We've got our wide receiver, Harry Douglas, in the Seaport with us this morning. So, we're going to do some wide receiver watch. Ask you some questions about some wideouts, Harry. Should Justin Jefferson want out of Minnesota? They still haven't paid him.
Not just yet, right? First, get your money. Also, see who they're going to bring in at the quarterback position. If things aren't right after, you know, Minnesota does those two things, then I think it's safe to say it's okay for Justin Jefferson to want to go elsewhere. He also just recently said that he may have been a tad bit jealous of Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow being with each other with the Cincinnati Bengals. We all know those guys were phenomenal at LSU as a trio.
That's an excellent segue, Harry, because the next question is about the Cincinnati Bengals. T. Higgins has demanded a trade because he isn't getting the contract he wants from them. Can Joe Burrow win a Super Bowl without T. Higgins?
Did I miss something, Gross?
I don't know.
What? Think they won a Super Bowl with T. Higgins.
No, that's true. That's true.
Confirmed.
But I will say this. T. Higgins is an integral piece to what they like to do. He had a down year last year. Injuries jumped in there as well as injuries to Joe Burrow. He is a key component if they want to try to win a Super Bowl. We know what they were able to do a few years ago, beating the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs before losing, well, after losing in the Super Bowl to the Los Angeles Rams.
Another wideout looking for a deal that doesn't have yet is CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys. Should he hold out if they don't pay him?
100%.
Ooh.
Don't show up. This offense is predicated around CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion. When you look at Dak Prescott, who's the quarterback, and getting him the football over 1,700 yards, surpassed Michael Irvin this year for most yards in a single season by a Cowboys wide receiver. We know how dependent the Cowboys are on throwing the football. They haven't got better on their offensive line. They haven't got a running back yet. So CeeDee Lamb, sit out until you get your money.
So he has 1 year left on his contract, and so does his quarterback, Dak Prescott. And that got our Adam Schefter to thinking about the Cowboys quarterback situation, what they should be thinking as the draft approaches. Here's what Adam had to say earlier this week.
What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft, because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think, because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
Certainly an interesting perspective. Do we still have Jordan Reed here? I was going to ask Jordan what he thought. There he is. Jordan, what do you think about the Cowboys potentially adding a quarterback in this draft versus whatever else they need to do? It's a lot.
I wouldn't understand it if they did it, just because you traded a 4th-round pick for Trey Lance last year, so you have your developmental guy there already. The Cowboys need starters at multiple spots. I look at their offensive line. You need a new starter at left tackle or left guard, depending on what you want to do with Tyler Smith. You need a new starter at center. Tyler Biadasz is now gone to the Commanders. They still not, don't have any depth along the defensive line. And, oh, yeah, they need some new linebackers, too. So they've backed themselves into a corner just because they haven't been very active or active at all in free agency. They backed themselves into a corner with having to hit on a lot of draft picks in this draft class. So I'm looking at the Dallas Cowboys. You have to win next year. Nothing matters what you do during the regular season. You're going to be graded next year on what you do in the postseason. They've backed themselves into a corner now, forcing themselves to hit on so many draft picks just because they haven't been active in free agency. And, oh, yeah, you need a new running back, too. I didn't even name running back with Tony Pollard now gone.
Yep.
So you need at least three or four starters to come out of this draft class. I just don't understand the strategy that they have had this offseason, and their lot hinges on what they do in the upcoming NFL draft.
Yeah, their inactivity on the free agent market has opened them up to a great deal of criticism. Harry, do you think it's warranted?
100%. You look at the Washington Commanders, they got better in the offseason. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they got better in the offseason. They made moves. Hell, even the New York Giants went and got someone, Brian Burns, in a trade from the Carolina Panthers. The one team that did not make, you know, drastic move in that division has been the Dallas Cowboys. So if you're going to deem yourself as a Super Bowl contender and you want to compete coming up, I think you're going to have to draft guys that can, you know, bring success to your football team immediately. You don't have time to be drafting a quarterback. And like Jordan just mentioned, you did that with the Trey last year when you gave up a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. So your developmental guy is already there. Put, use all your draft picks on players that can help you right now.
What do you think, D-Wood?
Well, I mean, listen, absolutely. Everything goes back to Dak Prescott's contract.
Right. You think, you know, that's held them up from doing stuff this
offseason? Absolutely.
Off
when you have a $59.5 million cap hit, you know, you're strapped. You can't do anything in via free agency. That's why this whole thing is so perplexing. It's like Dak comes off of a legit MVP-type season. And there is no movement on the contract front before free agency to add pieces, you know, that could help the Dallas Cowboys, you know, be one of these contenders in the NFC. And so, you know, I'm sitting back thinking, do they really want Dak Prescott moving forward after this year?
Do they?
I mean, I know it takes two to tangle.
Right.
I know it takes two. Like, you got to have the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, but there's been no movement.
None
for the Dallas, for those two sides.
Why would there not be movement? Could it be that the Dallas Cowboys aren't sure that Dak is the guy that they want? Or is it that the Cowboys think that Dak will want to test the market, which he should, because the Dallas Cowboys have allowed Dak to be in a position where he can test the market. So I agree with you. The whole thing is perplexing. Jerry must know something we don't. Everybody does not know, because what they've done, all of it together, doesn't make a lot of sense.
I have heard it said that the Cowboys are having the worst season of any team in the league. Is that extreme? Is that an extreme reaction? They won 12 games. Like, how much more
do they need? Here, I say all that. Watch them go 12-5, and we're sitting here, like, wondering, like, oh, okay, are they going to win in the first round or not of the playoffs? Like, who the heck knows with the Cowboys? They haven't done anything.
Schedule they have to play.
I will say this. They've put themselves in a position where they have to be really good in the draft.
But here, this is the last, before we go.
Are.
Kembo sent this stat. Less than 10% of guarantees on their current roster come via free agency. Like, this is not a team that's out there, like, So this is who they are. I just didn't expect them to be like this year.
Yeah.
All in, huh?
All in.
All in. All in. We are all in, baby.
I told y'all Jerry wasn't going to trick me.
Jordan, what should they be thinking in the first round? If you're the Cowboys, what should they be their target? Oh, I'm sorry, Jordan. No. We're going to have to talk to you later. Going to a break. LeBron and Steph, they're going to be in the play-in tournament. We'll tell you which one's more likely to make something of their postseason when we come back. I think that's what we're going to do. You're watching Get Up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. As of today, we are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, so we thought it'd be a good time to do a fundamentalist with Damian Woody. Damian Woody, will you tell me your top five things that you think absolutely have to happen
absolutely
in the draft?
Absolutely, Groz. We're going to start off at number five. How about the Tennessee Titans drafting offensive line? There's not many things that I'm willing to bet my house on, but this is one of them with the Tennessee Titans. They need an offensive tackle, and I got Joe Oath, the tackle out of Notre Dame, the number one tackle in this draft. They got to go get him. He'll have my former coach, Bill Callahan, as his guy that's going to coach him up.
That's big.
It's really big, really good situation. At number four, the Las Vegas Raiders have to come out of this draft with a quarterback. We've talked about them possibly moving up from the first round, from pick number 13, maybe getting up into the top three. We'll see what they can do. I think one way or the other, whether it's in the second round jumping up, in the first round, the Las Vegas Raiders have to go out and get a quarterback, because you guys know who's in that division, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. So they have to do that. Okay, moving on to number three. This one almost seems just too good to be true. Like, if you're the Arizona Cardinals,
oh, yeah,
Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be sitting right there for you. You're talking about generational type wide receiver. We know about the pedigree, Hall of Fame father. That's an absolute need if you're the Arizona Cardinals. You don't have a number one wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to fall right into your lap. You run up the card and submit that for Marvin Harrison Jr.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, number two. The Minnesota Vikings, we know that they acquired another first-round pick in order to try to move up to go get a quarterback. We know that they have Sam Darnold, who's more of a bridge guy. This is a perfect opportunity for the Minnesota Vikings to trade up and go get a quarterback. We've talked about on the show earlier how Minnesota might be the best situation for any rookie coming in with all the personnel that they have around them. Minnesota, go get your rookie quarterback. And at number one, my former team, New York Jets, we know that Aaron Rodgers, okay, is coming off, 40 years old, coming off the Achilles. I know the sexy thing is to go get a pass-catching receiver, okay? Mike Williams, who they recently signed from the Los Angeles Chargers, is coming and working his way back from the ACL. But, Gross, I've watched this Jets team enough to know over the years, if there's one thing that they've had bad luck in, is offensive line. They've signed three guys this offseason. But both of their tackles on the other side of 30, go out and go get an offensive lineman. Because guess what? Yesterday's luxury turns into today's necessity. And if you're the Jets, you can't just be thinking about this year. You got to be thinking about what's coming in the future as well. Go get that lineman.
All right, I want to bring everybody else back in to talk about this list. Damian Woody saying the Jets should draft an offensive lineman is not something that shocks me. Personally, just knowing Damian Woody. But what do you think? I mean, what do you think of his list?
Yeah, I actually love the list. When it comes to the Jets drafting an offensive lineman, you have to, right? What going into last offseason, what was the biggest thing? O-line. I remember doing their game versus the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. And when I mean, my eyes kept getting big because the offensive line was not good and the quarterback kept getting sacked time and time again. And Nathaniel Hackett didn't change protections or max protect at any time. It was hard for me to be able to sit there and watch, literally. So I do love the Jets getting the offensive lineman. And the reason why this is also huge, if you're Woody Johnson, it's all about the future, too. It's not a guarantee that Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are going to be there next season. So you don't want to be drafting right now just for immediacy. And then on the back end, you need an offensive lineman in the future.
Yeah. I understand the wanting to take the broader approach to the draft, but, I mean, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, like, there is some immediacy there, isn't there?
Yes, which is why the offensive lineman is the immediacy. Because to Harry's point, the guys that they signed in free agency, they're like on 1 year. Like a lot of them, they won't even be here. So this is, you don't want to be like the Giants where you literally are every year having to address this position. I do like this list. I actually like the Titans getting an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Because that's key for Will Levis. They have their quarterback of the future. You got to keep him upright.
And they went O-lineman last year with Peter Skoronski, but you want to rebuild that offensive line.
So you are not in this position.
Yep.
But the Raiders, they're a team. I don't know how they moved from 13 up, given that the Vikings obviously want to move up, but they need a quarterback. So this is actually a good list. You were preaching the gospel today. I like it. Bishop Woody.
You put together a good list.
Well,
sounds like
you know, it's rare that First Lady gives me any props, so I'm going to take it and run with it in this particular moment. So I appreciate
it. It must be the outfit. It must be the fit.
You know, the outfit is pretty good.
Special day here on Get Up. There's a lot of love in this room. We do have to go to the NBA now because it's time to play a little bit of basketball fact or fiction. Monica McNutt. Is it fact or fiction when I say Victor Wembanyama is a future league MVP?
Dan, by all accounts, that's an absolute fact. I mean, we've listened to guys marvel about playing against him and playing with him. Already a plethora, like umpteen thousand, as they would like to say. Records broken, crazy things done, things that we've never seen in the league before or put him in an elite class. So, yeah, as long as this young man continues to stay healthy, he's clearly got the competitive drive and the talent is off the chart.
Alan Hahn, Luka and Kyrie in Dallas are the best duo in the NBA right now. Is that fact or fiction?
Yeah, when you add right now, absolutely. And it's not just them carrying this team 16-2 in their last 18, really coming together. Luka over this stretch, 30-10-10 triple-double average, and Kyrie a very efficient 50-40-90 run as well. But this team also has the number one defense. So it's not just him, not just those two. It's a really good supporting cast, and they are a sleeper in the West.
Monica, if I said the Golden State Warriors are a bigger threat to do something in the playoffs than the Lakers are, fact or fiction?
What? I'm going to have to go fiction on this one. My whole thing with these two teams that are battling for 9-10 in standings has been the Lakers' size. When they decide to lock it in defensively, this run they've been on as of late, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, their ability to put pressure at the rim. Now, it doesn't mean that Steph Curry and the company can't get hot, but I think the advantage here is with the Lakers.
Yeah, well, we'll see. They're both going to be in the play-in. Here we go. We ought to take a look at the standings here. They're both going to be in the play-in. They've locked in their spots, so they're going to have to do some work just to get to the point where they can even threaten one of these teams that's not in the play-in. But assuming one of them gets through, Alan, which one do you give a better chance to make some noise?
I give a better chance to the Lakers. They've fared better against the top teams in the Eastern Conference. Western Conference. As long as they don't play against Denver. They haven't beaten Denver in 8 straight games, so that's one matchup that doesn't really bode well for them. But if they match up with OKC in the first round, that could benefit them because of their experience. Anytime you have LeBron James on the floor, you have a chance to win a playoff series. So I give them a better chance because the Warriors are 1-10 against the top teams in the top 3 teams in the West, and they also don't have enough size to contend with most of those teams at the top.
Monica, if he's right about the Warriors and they go out with a whimper here, is that it? Like, do you consider this the last dance, the last run for this Warriors group as we have known it?
Oh, I definitely think things are changing, Dan. I think this year we've seen, and candidly, last week we ran the sound of Draymond Green and Klay Thompson having this conversation. Like, I think they're sort of at the end of the run in terms of the dynasty, both in terms of the toll that it's taking for Steph to kind of carry this team, Draymond Green's growing still in his decision-making, and I think there's a little less patience there. But they do have some young pieces that they should really be excited about, and so they're going to be facing some really tough decisions, also from a money standpoint. So, yeah, we're probably watching the last of a really good thing a few years back in the NBA.
Yeah, Monica, I said earlier in the show, you never really see a dynasty have a third run at it, right? They did get a little second run there with the young core, and they won a championship 2 years ago. So they got that extra title, but even the Spurs, they had Kawhi, they won one, they could have won two, but then that kind of dissipated. The Bulls had their two runs, but they didn't have a third one as well. It's very rare that you see this. If the Warriors want to be a contender again, they got some emotional decisions to make, like you mentioned, because you've got to decide. Steph Curry at 36 next season, he still can play at a high level, But can you find pieces around him that can elevate that team to be a championship contender? I think for him and LeBron, the best chance to win another title, if they're going to do it, it might be to go somewhere else and see if that you can hook up with a team that might be already ready. I'm not saying they want to. I'm just saying their best chance might be that. And keep in mind this, if Bronny James is going to be in the draft and you're a contender, if you draft him, let's say you have a second round pick and you bring him in, does LeBron James say, I'll come with him and give you a chance to win a championship in 1 year? Something to watch.
Well, okay.
I might do it.
So I'm not mad at you on the idea of them moving. I actually thought you were about to reintroduce the team up thing and I was about to be like, huh, for real?
That's, oh, bring them together? Yeah, yeah,
we're
no.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
But we could. It would make for a great segment. If Who would go to where? Should Steph go to the Lakers or should LeBron go to Golden State?
Gosh.
Because that was talked about, if you remember. There was an opportunity for that to happen, and they decided not to make that move. But it would be special if those two got together. Think about that for a minute. We've seen movies about that.
I think it would be special, and I'm sure it would be something that we would spend some time talking about here on Get Up.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I think if Steph Curry and LeBron James were on the same team, we might build a segment or two around that. But when we come back, we're going to talk more football. Caleb Williams is widely expected to be the number one overall pick, but is he the best player in this draft class? We've got somebody here who says no. But first, we got a little sneaky hembo time for Harry Douglas. And this is a wide receiver question, Harry. Which college has produced the most first-round wide receivers in the common draft era? Harry's going to mull that one over. He's got a little smile on his face. So does Hembo. We'll see who wins when we come back on Get Up.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You are watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. And it is time for Sneaky Hembo for Harry Douglas. He has really been mulling this one over during the break. Which college has produced the most first-round wide receivers?
Graz, I'm going to go with the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Ohio State Buckeyes are not correct. They are tied for second with USC. They've produced 10. But Tennessee. Anyways, Tennessee.
These two are something else.
Yeah. Somebody's got to clean this up. Tennessee, but they haven't had one since 2013 when it was Cordarrelle Patterson. Before that, Robert Meacham in 07. And before that, Dante Stallworth in 02. So,
The two I was thinking are tied for second. I was thinking USC, Ohio State,
then Alabama with 9, LSU and Miami with 8. So Ohio State probably catching, right? Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
Yeah, so there you go. I don't know what's going on here. Hembo's going to have to clean this all up.
These two
we have more NFL draft to discuss, and it is time to read and react with our ESPN draft analyst, Jordan Reed. I'm jealous. My last name does not convert to fun segment titles like his does. Jordan, who is the best player in this year's draft?
It is Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State's wide receiver. For me, you talk about a combination of outstanding hand-eye coordination, the body control, just his ability to go up and attack the football. He is a big wide receiver that has small wide receiver movement skills. I think he's in the elite territory as far as a prospect. We're talking about Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, Jamar Chase. The list goes on and on of the type of tier that he's in as a wide receiver prospect. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is in that type of tier.
Agree?
I love everything
Harrison Jr. I think he's ready right now. You can build an offense around him. You talk about size, speed, strength, being able to play inside, outside, can do a lot of different things on the football field. And also, when you have a Hall of Fame father and Marvin Harrison Sr., I think you have an upper edge. I love second-generational professional athletes because they've been around money their entire life. They've been around discipline, structure. They have the foundation. So I love Marvin Harrison Jr., and I do believe he's the best player in this draft.
Yeah, a top wide receiver like that can unlock a lot of things, especially right if you have a quarterback who's still coming along. I mean, Kyler Murray back from injury last year looked pretty good, but if they pair him up with Marvin Harrison, you think they could be something?
They could be something.
Yeah.
Who's opposite Marvin Harrison?
What are you?
Guy they take in a second.
I still think they'll be fourth in the division.
Yeah.
But that's another building block for the Arizona Cardinals because, I mean, that's the clear – as much as I talked about, like, Joe Alt for the Tennessee Titans – I mean, that it's the same thing for the Arizona Cardinals. They need a number one after they dealt Hollywood Brown. That would just be a seamless fit right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it would make the situation in Arizona better, right?
Yes.
And I think what we heard Dominique Foxworth on this show a week or so ago talk about how he thought Marvin Harrison Jr. could have as big an impact long term as a quarterback could. When that got me to thinking about what you said about Minnesota, right? Even Justin Jefferson there, that could be why it's the best situation to put a quarterback in?
We've talked about Chicago, right? Everything that the Chicago Bears have done thus far to surround who all of us, you know, pretty much presumes going to be Caleb Williams as the number one quarterback. But Minnesota, to me, is the best spot for a rookie quarterback. If you look at their look at their whole situation, you have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. That is a hell of a 1-2 punch at wide receiver. You got the tight end. You got the tight end that T.J. Hockenson is there. Obviously, he's coming back off an injury. Aaron Jones, who they signed from free agent from Green Bay. Two really good offensive tackles. They got a pretty good offensive line. And most importantly, Kevin O'Connell, the head coach, who's also the play caller. Yeah. So you don't have – it's not one of these situations we got to worry about, is the play caller going to leave if the quarterback does well, if the offense does well. He's the head coach, and they play indoors half the year. So Minnesota is a great situation for a rookie quarterback.
I'm hesitant after last season of saying, like, oh, this is going to be the best spot for a young rookie quarterback,
right?
Because we're all saying that about Carolina. And then, whoop. But the difference is, in Carolina, we were saying because of the coaching staff, the coaches have ended up to be part of the problem. But in Minnesota, they already have the roster is intact. And Brian Flores and that defense, since he's been there, has improved. So I think this is going to be a great situation for whoever they bring in at QB as well.
We're talking quarterbacks. Jordan, we're thinking that Caleb Williams is going to be the one pick. I think you probably have him rated first in the draft. If you don't, tell me. But the question is, who's the second best quarterback in this year's draft?
It's Drake May for me, and this is a big question that the Commanders have to answer at number two overall. Which quarterback are you going to go with? If I was number two overall and I was sitting in that seat that GM Adam Peters is in right now, I would go with Drake May out of North Carolina just because I trust the flashes that he showed throughout the season. And yes, I know Jaden Daniels was without question the better player last year, but we're talking about a two-year starter versus a five-year player. And just imagine if Drake May had three more years left in college. I think we could see the developmental arc like we saw out of Jaden Daniels over his past few seasons. But with Drake May, I believe he has a Justin Herbert, Josh Allen type of ceiling. But there are some things to clean up with him. Yes, he has to get better with the decision making. Yes, the footwork has to get better. But if you can be a little bit patient with him and leave him on like a Jordan Love type of arc of where he may have to sit one season, I think you can reap the benefits from him long term.
Yeah, I just don't think Drake May has that luxury if he's drafted by the Washington Commanders. If he's drafted by them, he's going to have to play right now. And I think the best quarterback fit for that position for the Commanders at two is going to be Jaden Daniels, especially when you go get an Austin Ekeler. Now you have two solid running backs, right? You got Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. You bring over Zach Ertz, a veteran tight end that can help out your young quarterback. But then when you look defensively, listen, Dan Quinn brought guys in that understands his scheme. Dortz Armstrong, Dante Fowler, Bobby Wagner. You don't go get guys like that if you're trying to build and win. They're trying to win right now in Washington.
No, I totally agree. You think that Drake May overall could be the best prospect, but Washington, from all the moves that they've made in free agency, they're trying to win now. They're not trying to hear, you know, a couple years down the road. They're trying to make a splash right now. And what better splash than possibly getting the Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU?
And I wouldn't blame them if that is their approach, because you see a lot of GMs and head coaches come in thinking, like, we've got this five-year plan of rebuilding an organization that needs it. And their time runs out before that 5 years is over because fan base, ownership has gotten frustrated seeing the losing. Yeah. So it makes all the sense in the world if the Washington Commanders say, we need to win now. Jaden Daniels is the guy that gets us over the hump in the immediate future.
Well, it also makes it hard when you have a guy like D'Amico Ryans, who has a rookie quarterback, and they go to the playoffs have a phenomenal season, and that organization is turned around.
Yeah, maybe raises the expectations for everybody else. Jordan, I got one more for you, moving a little further down the round to Buffalo, where they just traded away Stephon Diggs and need a wide receiver. Who could they target where they're picking in the first round?
Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU makes a lot of sense here, just because if you think about what they lost in the offseason, Gabe Davis is gone, and then the blockbuster trade of Stephon Diggs, they have a huge need at wide receiver right now. What do they lack, and what have they lacked over the past season or so? They lack explosive plays. Buffalo was 26th in explosive plays last year. The three seasons prior to that, they were in the top three. So that goes to show you that they do lack explosive plays. The most explosive vertical runner in this wide receiver class is Brian Thomas Jr. 17 touchdowns led the FBS last year. 10 came on vertical patterns. So imagine him and Josh Allen together. He brings a down-the-field dynamic that Buffalo has lacked over the past season or so. I really like Brian Thomas Jr.'s fit there. It will require a little bit of a trade-up, possibly, into the top 15 ahead of the Indianapolis Colts, but I think he is worth it.
They got to go receiver, right, Kmart?
Oh, that was the plan even before they lost Stephon Diggs, Clear some cap space, get some wide receivers.
Yeah, they need it. There's no doubt Josh Allen's going to need help. With Diggs gone, he was a critical element of what they've done the last 4 years, and it's time for transition in Buffalo. Fortunately for them, apparently it's a good wide receiver draft.
Yep.
Here's our ABC Hockey Saturday lineup. The Rangers host the Islanders at 12:30 Eastern. Then the Kraken are in Dallas to take on the Stars, who are first in the West. And at 8 Eastern, the Bruins square off against Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. We got a little more to do here on Get Up, but when we are finished at the top of the hour, First Take follows us. Should the Bucks hold Giannis out of the first round of the playoffs? And who's the bigger playoff threat, the Lakers or the Warriors? First Take follows us at the top of the hour. Jack's getting it cleaned up. Be careful, too. You don't want to suffer a head injury while cleaning. Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. It's a tradition unlike any other. Today and tomorrow at 3 Eastern on ESPN and the app, we'll once again have exclusive first and second round coverage of the Masters from Augusta. ESPN Plus will have featured hole and featured group coverage for all four rounds. And we have a historical UFC 300 Saturday, highlighted by the light heavyweight title main event. Main card begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view, prelims at 8 on ESPN News and ESPN Deportes. Order the main card in English and Spanish. Go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Damien, you can watch college hockey tonight?
Man, shout out. BC Hockey, man. Frozen Four. Got the Michigan Wolverines, baby. Let's get it.
On ESPN 2.
Yeah.
First Take starts now.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.